Welcome back to YCSO Behind the Badge. I'm Deputy Trent Ferris, Public Information Officer here at the York County Sheriff's Office, and we always appreciate you stopping by and listening to the podcast to learn a little bit about the ins and outs of the York County Sheriff's Office and about the hardworking men and women who serve our citizens each and every day. If you're a regular listener of the podcast, you will notice that we didn't post a podcast last week. And that was because of a certain situation that happened on the Catawba River Bridge at Highway 5, where tragically somebody fell into the Catawba River, and yours truly was out there that week with the rest of the York County Sheriff's Office dive team, our partners over in Lancaster County, and so on and so forth, hopefully working really hard to locate that individual who was in the Catawba River, and that's all we're going to say about it. But that is why I didn't have time to record a podcast last week, and so we apologize. But we're back, and we've got a good one for you today. But before we get to that, go visit our website, yorkcountysheriff.com. Sign up for Notify Me alerts. If you don't know what those are, they are alerts that go straight to your phone and email. And you can sign up for whatever you like and wherever you like via that. So you don't miss out on any important information, alerts, news releases, everything from the York County Sheriff's Office. And also go follow us on our social media pages. That's Facebook, X, LinkedIn, YouTube, all the big ones. We're on them. We're on TikTok, but we don't do much on TikTok because it's hard to do videos on TikTok sometimes to keep it entertaining and whatever. I'm not going to give you excuses why I don't do a lot of TikTok. But anyway, today on the podcast, we have a special guest. We have Sergeant Amy Smith, who is the supervisor of our Special Victims Unit, or SVU. Right? No, not that one. Well, it is the Special Victims Unit, but not the kind that you see on television, or it could be the same kind that you see on television. Sergeant Smith, welcome to the podcast. This is your first time on the podcast.
This is my first time. Thank you for having me today.
I've been doing these for about 3 years. About 2.5 years we've been recording podcasts, and I just forget who's come in. I have a list. I have a folder of 3 seasons worth of podcasts that we've done, and I thought for sure we have had you on the podcast before. And
well, that's okay. We're out fighting crime, so we get forgotten about.
That's not why at all. But we wanted to bring you on the podcast because you are the supervisor of the Special Victims Unit, and if you notice the sound effect there, that is the television version of the Special Victims Unit, and I'm always a fan of trying to keep people away from learning about law enforcement from television dramas, and you know, and what goes on on television dramas versus real life, right?
Yeah, and unfortunately a lot of our cases are not solved within 60 minutes or 45 minutes minus the commercial breaks.
Well, on that show, it's the first 30 minutes is the crime and solving the crime, and then the last 30 minutes of usually is going to court.
Sure.
Law and order. Hey, we got the crime. This is the crime. We're taking it to court now.
Right. Yeah. Our cases are not wrapped up that quickly.
Although, I mean, you would like it to, I'm sure.
Sure. In a perfect world, that would be great. We'd have it all set up for trial by the end of the hour.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, television is one of those things where it's just one of you appreciate the entertainment value of a television program.
Of course.
I mean, I don't know why, but I was a big fan of NCIS for the longest time. But after meeting real NCIS agents, they said, we don't have murders. All the time.
Right.
We don't. It's not, we don't do that. So it's in real life, NCIS maybe deals with one murder a year at most.
Right.
So, but for the entertainment value, I liked that show until Gibbs left, and then I'm like, I'm done. I'm done with you. Anyway, and then they have NCIS Los Angeles, NCIS New Orleans, NCIS Sydney now. Sorry, I'm going off on a tangent. Not a big fan. But anyway, so before we get started on what you do as a supervisor of the SVU here at the York County Sheriff's Office, tell us about you. Tell us about your career, how long you've been here, what have you done here at the Sheriff's Office, so on and so forth.
So I came to work here in July of 2001, started on patrol, had some prior law enforcement experience, was out on my own on patrol, right? I can vividly remember 9/11. So I was cut short to be on patrol by myself. I actually was a school resource officer for many years, worked patrol, worked in the office taking reports over the phone. I'm also a crisis negotiator, yeah. Firearms instructor. And I have landed, I think, in what I'm called to do, which is Special Victims Unit.
And for our listeners, that is one of the jobs that, even if I weren't as the public information officer, I don't think I would have the emotional wherewithal to deal with what you do on a daily basis. Because I've had to talk to you on a number of occasions about when the media calls about whomever, and you get into the details of things, and I'm like, I don't know if I could do this.
Yeah, it takes, it took some navigating through to kind of not take my work home with me,
yeah.
But I really impressed that on the other detectives in the Special Victims Unit. Like, what we deal with is very heavy in nature. Mm-hmm. I learned pretty quickly working in it was sex crimes. Mm-hmm. It recently was renamed the Special Victims Unit. But when you go to Thanksgiving dinner and you're sitting with family and friends and people are talking about their careers and what they do for a living, if it comes out that I work for the Special Victims Unit, there usually is not a lot of follow-up questions.
Really?
Nobody really wants to hear the stories of the cases that we work.
You would think, that would be something like if you're sitting around dinner table and you have your family members that don't really know what you do for a living, you would think that they would come out and ask you, is it like real life TV or like what?
Yeah.
I don't know. I would probably be.
So usually how the conversation is like, you know, what do you do for a living? Oh, I'm a detective. And yeah. Some people just stop at that.
Cool.
And then some people say, well, what kind of cases do you investigate? And then when I say sex crimes, that usually shuts it down right there. Nobody wants to hear about our cases.
Oh, I guess it's kind of like the elephant in the room. Like, okay, there it is, but nobody talk about it.
Right.
No, nobody talk about the elephant in the room. Just let it sit over there.
Right.
And let it be the elephant and leave it at that. And that's probably good. You focus on more positive things when you're with family and friends versus
yes.
Like, oh my gosh, you do that.
Right. Right.
And so you say it, I mean, you changed it from sex crimes to special victims because yes, the majority is probably sex crimes.
Yes.
Crimes involving a sexual criminal nature.
Exactly.
But it's special for a reason.
Right. And our Special Victims Unit, we only deal with sexual assaults. So we deal with children who are victimized as very young children, through teenagers, through grown adults. So that is the neat thing about our unit is we are very specialized.
Okay.
So we know how to investigate sex crimes.
Now, we do also have the Digital Forensics Unit, which is with Lieutenant Alex Clark, and he deals with, you know, the digital version of that, of
right.
What you do. Do you guys work together pretty close or?
Yeah, we actually do. And that's becoming the trend more and more is that we start out with, you know, like investigating a sexual assault. And then we find that there's some inappropriate material on a phone. Particularly, we get a lot of cases with our teenagers
mm-hmm.
that are maybe being victimized as we're going through their phones. We're seeing some really inappropriate stuff, some solicitation that's taking place. So we call upon the detective or Lieutenant Alex Clark
mm-hmm.
and Detective Michael Robinson. We could not do our jobs without their input and their expertise to help us navigate through that. Because a lot of times you really don't know what's going on, maybe with a teenager, until you really get into their phone and
right.
See what's going on.
Yeah. I mean, is that, I mean, but you deal with young children, teenagers, and adults, I'm sure.
Yeah, so they are very gracious, too, whenever phones are just invaluable evidence in today's society, and then even in our investigation. So a lot of times we do get cell phones, and Lieutenant Clark, Detective Robinson, they will download the phones for us. They have the expertise to do that. And so we don't so much see very young kids with inappropriate stuff on their phones. They might have been exposed to it or are viewing inappropriate things, but we see a lot of it in our teenagers and somewhat of our adult cases. But we find that teenagers are more victimized as to maybe being solicited for inappropriate pictures of themselves, and they get caught up into that.
So, gosh, that can go down a whole nother route, because, you know, Brandon Guffey, representative, his son, Gavin Guffey, was a sextortation. Did I say it right?
Sextortion.
But yeah, I mean, that you do a lot of that. I mean, is that part of it, what you do?
We do, and we carry it as far as we can carry it on our side in our investigations. And then, like I said, we really heavily rely on the expertise of Lieutenant Clark, Detective Robinson, to go in and find these hidden folders, these secret places for pictures, and we'll go through and look at the messages and determine exactly what's taking place. Maybe let's just, you know, assume it's a teenager. Are they freely giving out these images, which they shouldn't be doing in the first place? Or are they being threatened that there will be consequences if they don't? And we find with teenagers, it might start out innocently enough. Not that it's not illegal. It is illegal even for a teenager to send indecent photos of themselves to anyone else. But then we find that it's almost like an extortion type thing, where they're being blackmailed or they're being threatened as to what's going to happen if they don't continue to do that.
And I guess that goes into, like, I think one time you and I think the last time you and I talked about a case that was getting some traction in the news media, was a person who was a youth leader of sorts, and they were he was showing pictures and of kids and stuff on, you know, or stuff, whatever, like on a video phone, all that stuff. So it's not necessarily like, I'm trying to think of the question here. It's like, it's not always digital, I suppose. It's, you know,
exactly,
like, it could be like, hey, come over to my house, we're gonna hang out, and somebody pops in a DVD or goes online and starts streaming something that's inappropriate for kids.
And if these things are going to happen, we love when people do that on their digital devices, because guess what? They're never truly gone.
Right.
There is a footprint. A lot of times we can retrieve it. We can prove what the victim is telling us that took place, that this inappropriate pornography was showed to them, or, you know, just different things like that. So a lot of really valuable digital evidence we are able to get in a lot of our cases.
And do you do a lot of, some of the cases you deal with, contributing to the delinquency of minor, not necessarily contributing, well, I mean, I guess the alcohol version of that and this, correct? That's all the same realm?
Right. We also have statutes, in South Carolina, where anyone who shows pornography to a teenager or even a younger person, there are statutes to cover that.
Yeah.
These are pretty hefty punishments for people who do that, and that usually is just a gateway or a segue into other abuse that takes place. That's just the tip of the iceberg. There's even more or greater offenses that are usually occurred.
My goodness. And so, and we'd be remiss if we didn't ask, like, something for our listeners, like a parent or somebody who may be listening, or even not even a parent, just somebody who may be feel like they, you know, what is something that people can do if they have any kind of, maybe think that they may be a victim of this, or a parent who is like, hey, I think my kid has been exposed to this by somebody they've been hanging out with.
Yeah,
or
I mean,
folks can know.
Yeah, they can definitely make a report. You know, we can talk to the teens. Sometimes teens are, and I say teens because that's a big majority of our population that we work with that are victims of crimes, as far as, you know, sextortion and different things like that. But we definitely can talk to them, get their devices, see what they've been up to, what's been sent to them, what's been solicited, you know, and really just as parents to really monitor what your kids are exposed to, what they're watching, what they're downloading, and then also having a frank conversation with them that, you know, at 14 years old, when they're reaching out to, like, if they have a 14-year-old daughter, she's reaching out to another guy that was introduced to her by a friend at school who's also 14 or 15, that it really might not be a 14 or 15-year-old. It very well could be a grown man. It could be someone that's 50, 60 years old that's posing as a child, but they are enticed to give out personal information, other things that they should not be giving all of that information out about themselves. And that person then collects all that information. They know how to speak like a 14, 15-year-old, and the child that's giving out all this information and is being preyed upon is none the wiser.
Wow. What kind of training do you guys go through to do this? I mean, I got another question to go up, but that's a lot. It seems like a very specific skill set. Do you go to school? I mean, go to trainings that they have? I mean, or is this something that's just like part of the normal investigation?
Yeah, so prior to coming into the detective division, I actually had about 17 years law enforcement experience. Mm-hmm. And through all that, you get a sense when you talk to people who's being truthful with you and who isn't.
Yeah.
We become very good gauges or lie detectors ourselves just in everyday body language, mm-hmm. things that people say in patrol when you go out on a domestic and you're interviewing two people with two very different stories. There are things that have a ring of truth to them and things that just hit upon. I'm a very visual person. So if I can replay the scenario in my mind, but it, you know, those tend to have more validity, more truth to it than very broken up versions of an incident that are leaving big gaps to where, you know, it's not a continuous flow of a story to be like, okay, this is truthful. I could see this happening. I'm 100% on board that this is truly what happened. So just life experience. I'm not a young woman. I'm, you know, towards the end of my career. So just gathering a lot of life experience. But yes, there's a lot of trainings along the way. Back when human trafficking became a really big buzzword and there was more awareness of that, I started attending a lot of human trafficking training. We attend training on how to interview children. We actually have a great organization here within our county, Safe Passage, that does our kid interviews. Mm-hmm. We do interviews on kids 13 and over, generally speaking. There are some special exceptions, but we learn the premise of that, which is to not ask leading questions so that we can get to the fact of the matter. We can get to the truth in a situation, and that's basically what we are. We are truth seekers. We try to figure out what happened, and if a crime was committed, then what needs to happen from there.
And I guess, I'm going to back up because I had another follow-up question to that, but let's touch on it for a second because you hit it. You touched on it. Human trafficking.
Human trafficking.
That's a thing.
Huge thing.
And it's not... We're not immune here in York County, South Carolina, because
we are
next to a major metropolitan city in Charlotte. We host a lot of world events, especially coming up in May. The World BMX Championships are coming to Rock Hill, South Carolina, right in the center of York County. Right. And with all that encompasses the possibility of human trafficking. And we talk about that's prostitution or... Name it out. I mean, you're more of an expert than I am. So that's a thing here in York County, right?
Yeah, so where the crowds of people are and the money is, that's where you're going to see any kind of human trafficking. And there's so much misconception that goes on in our society about what human trafficking is. People locked in cages, chained up, emaciated, hadn't eaten in days. I mean, people that are trafficked can look very normal, walking around in society. It happens very gradually. It's a mind control issue. Let's say that you're a teenager. You're a teenage girl. You're having problems at home. There's dysfunction within the family. You meet somebody online who says, okay, you're a 15-year-old girl, maybe a 17, 18-year-old guy. And they're like, wow, you're so pretty. Mm-hmm. You know, I'd really like to meet with you in person. Let's just meet up at Carowinds or let's just meet somewhere and whatever. And you start seeing that person. Your family's not aware of it. This is someone that you met online. And that person then convinces you that you're the most beautiful person that he's ever seen. You know, why don't you guys, you know, form a relationship? And then they're very sympathetic to your situation. Hey, you know, you deserve better than to live in a really dysfunctional household. Why don't you come stay with me?
Wow.
So you go and you live, you move to this house. You're kind of separated from your friends and family. And then next thing you know, it's just way more than you bargained for. Everything's great at first. Maybe he's buying you gifts. He's buying you clothes, shoes, whatever, letting you get your nails done, paying for all that, getting your hair done. And then there comes a time where it's like, hey, we're kind of short on the rent this month. And there's maybe other people living in the household as well.
Yeah.
And this guy says to you, you know what? We're really going to need for you to like kind of contribute some money. You know, you would help me out, wouldn't you? And you're like, well, yeah, I'll help out. You're my boyfriend. Of course I would. And then he says, well, I've got these buddies and, you know, would you mind going on a date with them? And you're like, well, yeah, that's kind of weird, but I guess if it's going to help you out, sure. And then one thing leads to another. So it's nothing. And that's not every scenario, but you can see how this over time becomes a very gradual thing.
Wow. So it's just a almost like a human mousetrap of sorts.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? That's why I'm picturing it in my brain. It's the Roach Motel of sorts. I mean,
right.
You go in and you can get caught and you can't leave.
Right. And you're talking about a teenager who doesn't have the life experiences to see around corners, to be able to navigate, to see like, this is really dangerous. If this guy really cared about me, he'd want me to stay in school. He'd want me to go to college. He would want these things for me. But it's, you know, you're already in a very vulnerable state and you're being preyed upon by somebody who is older. I can think of a case that we actually worked where this young lady who was being exploited by many different people, there was many different law enforcement agencies that were involved in the investigation. I literally was sick when we sat in an interview with her and she said about this guy who was very into her, was very caring for her, said that he had wanted to and had proposed taking her to Florida to meet his family members. And I thought, oh my gosh, if she goes to Florida, we would have never seen her again. Like such a strong possibility that that would happen. Her family would not have known where she was at. She was running away a lot. There was a lot of mental health issues. And when I heard that, it was like a gut punch. I'm like, this little girl could have totally never been seen again.
That's very frightening. I guess we've all, I would say not all of us, but most people have, are familiar with the movie Taken.
Yeah.
Taken 1, Taken 2, Taken 3.
Right.
And it's, and even to that point, you know, that's a parent's worst nightmare.
Exactly.
Not all of us can be Liam Neeson and go, you know, track people down.
Right.
It can happen and they can be gone.
Right.
And even if the, so much as so, the new movie that was out, oh gosh.
Sound of Freedom?
That one.
Yes.
We watched it.
Yes.
Goodness.
Yes.
Watch that one, and it's like, oh my gosh, I'm about to throw up. This could very well happen.
Exactly.
Especially with kids.
Right.
And being drawn to the world of television, social media, being influencers and everything.
Well,
and just having that, you know?
We grew up in the area, you know, where there was a white panel van. You know, it's like, hey, little kid.
Free candy.
You want a free ice cream. And that's not what today, not what's going on today.
Gosh, and I wish there was a way we could figure out to message that, too, because it's like, that's what us as an adult remember.
Right.
Stranger danger, don't talk to strangers. But
exactly.
Now it's the new, the internet is the new white van.
Right.
With the sign saying free candy on the side.
Right. Exactly.
Oh, gosh, we could talk about this for days.
Yes.
We may bring you back and talk about this again.
I could do that.
But we'll get to the victim side of it. And you have a team.
Yes.
Your team. And one of your team members, Brooklyn, who was supposed to be in here with us, but unfortunately she got pulled away.
She's out on assignment.
that's right. That's the talk. That's the Brooklyn Melton. She is a valued member of your team because she came up with a really, really good idea to put use to a room that I barely knew was even out there in the lobby.
Yeah. So if I can have a minute just to brag on
Brooklyn. Do it, please.
So this young lady has got a lot of spark, spunk, and enthusiasm, and she is invaluable to our division. She has a lot of great ideas. I see that she has ambition. Mm-hmm. And she recently went to a training. Yep. And she came back and said, "You'll never guess what." And I'm like, "Brooklyn, what?" And she said, in this training, they talked about having what's called a soft interview room, which is very different from the interview rooms that we use currently or did up until a couple weeks ago, which are very white. They're very stale and sterile.
Right.
There's no personality to the rooms, but we used to use the same interview room for our victims as we did our suspects. After she went to this training, she said, you know, there is this organization that will help with funding to create a very soft space, something that's warm and inviting, and there's some financial help to make that happen. Mm-hmm. I said, "Brooklyn, I love it. That's a great concept. You know, talk to the bosses mm-hmm. and the higher ups that can authorize that within our department and let me know." And next thing I know, she's like, "I've got the green light. I have to pick out a new paint scheme. I get to pick out furniture, and I'm going to create a very soft, nice space for us to interview victims so that it's as comforting as possible." Yeah. As they're telling us some of the worst things that they've ever experienced.
Because if you would, there's no way to do this. Maybe I can when I do a bit. We're going to do a video on this, by the way, as soon as we get Brooklyn back into the office at a time to do it. And I've also talked to our news media partners. They're going to do a video about this, because if you could do like a side-by-side picture of both, like the normal suspect interview room down the hall that's towards CID.
Yes.
It is a square box with a gray table surrounded by gray walls.
Yes.
And the same fluorescent lighting that's in this room.
Yes.
And like you said, you would put the suspect in this room, and it's the one that you would see on TV. We talk about TV, and it's like, boom, we're doing this on TV, and and it's the one that you would just imagine in your mind. And if you could put that room right next to the soft interview room, the soft interview room looks like somebody's a small living room.
Exactly. It's got comfortable chairs. Everything was very thought through, even to the point of a small table that is on wheels for an interviewer to be able to sit down, put a notebook, be able to, if you're right-handed or left-handed, be able to swivel that table around. I mean, there was so much thought and preparation into this room. It's just everybody from our office who has gone and seen the room has nothing but raving reviews for how beautiful it turned out.
Like I said, I didn't even know that. I knew that room was there, but I had no idea what that room was for.
Right.
It was designed I think it was an interview. It was an interview room.
It's a quasi interview room. I mean, it had a big table and not a lot of personality. Yeah.
She went into I remember when she came by and told me about it before it got finished, she had the little paint color schemes that you can get from
Lowe's. The paint swatches? Yes, yes.
She's like, "I'm trying to figure out what kind of paint color this is going to be." And she went into the depth of thought of that.
Yes.
Of what a color may help somebody be calm.
Right.
More open to sharing that it's a psychological thing.
Exactly.
Because you're a room where you're, I think I want to say it's a blue, bluish greenish.
Kind of a bluish green, a very pale color, a very soothing color. It's not red, it's not purple. It's, you know, it's very calming and soothing. And then don't forget the lamps too. You know, she's got very soft lighting in there that almost creates like a living room or a sitting room type of atmosphere.
And the chairs swivel because people who may have pent up energy or I'm doing this. We're on a podcast, Trent. I'm sitting here swiveling in my chair and expecting that our listeners are seeing what I'm doing. But the chairs are swivel chairs because people would, you know, may want to, it's like, I could talk, but I'm going to be moving back and forth as you can't see me right now swiveling in my chair on a podcast. But that's the purpose of it. It's pent up energy that may open you up a little bit more.
Right.
The science and psychology of this, the way she talked about it was, that's why you're here. That's why you're here. And sadly, she's not here right now to explain it a little bit better. But We're going to do it. We're going to do a video of this so you can be able to see it. So make sure you stay tuned to our social media pages and our website so we can show it to you. But right now we're going to talk about it. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I thought it was ingenious.
Oh, yeah.
And I knew by the, you know, when she said, "Hey, get the bosses on board," it's like, nah, man, that's a no-brainer.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Sheriff Tolson's big on mental health and yes. well-being.
Yes.
And that room can also be used for that, from yes. what I was told. Like, if, you know, if somebody wants to, you know, go talk to somebody, that,
yes.
that it can be used as an interview room. It could right. also be used for employee wellness. And she also mentioned that, hey, yeah, you have the suspect room down the way where you interview them in there. Mm-hmm. And then, I mean, it still puts the suspect in a, hey, I'm not going to talk because, look, I'm in this gray box.
Yeah.
She often said that you could possibly put a suspect in there to
yeah.
open up
right.
and say, hey, I'm in a more relaxed environment. Okay, maybe I should, you know, tell you what all that
yeah.
happened. So.
Yeah, there's a lot of psychology behind that. And she definitely took a lot of time and effort to not only pick out the artwork, the color scheme. I know that she visited multiple people around the Moss Justice Center and was like, hey, what do you think would be the best color?
Right.
And she had several swatches. So it was kind of like, I think the most popular ended up winning out. But yeah, to picking out the furniture, and she, even in her office, she has decorated so nicely. So you can see that there was a level of talent there.
Right.
And then for her just to get this totally white slate and then be able to create this totally inviting, victim-friendly room was just amazing. Like, she totally outdid herself
on this. It's almost like one of those things, like, why didn't we think about this before? It's kind of like, oh, this should have been done years ago, but
yeah,
somebody new, somebody fresh, somebody excited, ready to get at it and, you know, help people. It's like, I got this idea.
She went to this Boom. Training, heard this, you know, proposition of what this organization does, took the bull by the horns. It's like, let's do it here. I'm like, great. It's your idea. This is totally your thing. And she's 100% to credit for this. And then obviously our bosses, Sheriff Tolson mm-hmm. was totally on board with that as well, which is wonderful. We have made huge strides in taking care of our people and trying to make it a better place to where we are not victimized by coming to our jobs every day and dealing yeah. with the heaviness of the cases that we work.
It's genius. Genius. Yes. And one day, yes, Brooklyn, if you're listening, you're going to be talking about it. Somehow, maybe we'll break, because since we're going to talk about human trafficking, we're going to break it back into another podcast. And when is Human Trafficking Awareness Month? Is it March?
It is coming up here. I know victims, I think the Victims Week is in May, possibly.
May.
But
I think it's May.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I've got.
And then Child Abuse Awareness is coming up as well. So.
Well, yeah. well. Guess
you
what?
Go.
We're going to just tell me when those days are. We can bring it back onto the podcast
sure.
and we talk about it. But we are. Woo! Not running out of time because podcasting lasts forever, but I like to keep, you know, people on the podcast in a driving type of length.
Sure.
Because it takes me like 30 minutes to get home. So I think, okay, that's about a good length of a podcast. But anyway.
Yes.
So we're going to put a pin in it here, bring you back in, talk about more stuff because I'm sure all the listeners are like, why are you stopping?
Sure.
But don't worry. She works here. I work here. We can bring you back in. No problem. If you want more about the podcast, put it in the comments on the bottom of it. Tell us, hey, you like this thing on the Spotify comments page. And yeah, we'll do it again. But before we go, since this is your first time on the podcast, you've got to go through the hardest part of the podcast.
Sure.
Have you listened to any of our podcasts?
I have caught bits and pieces.
Good, 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 good. So then you probably know that this is the rapid fire getting to know you questions.
Yes.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
I use the same ones every week.
Okay.
So it shouldn't be any mystery.
Sure.
I may switch these up. But anyway, your first job ever.
Ever. Delivering a penny saver, which was like, I know I'm giving my age. So these little like mini newspapers
yeah.
that you would get for free in a neighborhood. I think I was 14 years old.
Kind of like a newspaper. So, yeah, I know
it was like a mini
about.
Newspaper, like a freebie thing. And I had to go and deliver to the houses in my neighborhood.
Nice.
Yes.
What's your favorite food?
Favorite food, Italian.
Italian. Anything Italian?
Oh, pasta.
Okay.
Yeah. Anything with lots of carbs.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Favorite sports team?
Favorite sports team. I am still mourning the Buffalo Bills not going to the Super Bowl. I was born and raised in Buffalo.
Though the Super Bowl this past year, or the big game as they call it, yeah. They were on a podcast. I don't know if that the rules work, but the Super Bowl.
Yes.
This was a good game. Watched it overtime, blah, blah, blah. Watched it. But yes, I would have much rather have had two different teams, yes. like Detroit, Buffalo, yes. somebody else.
Yes.
Other than the normals that we always see. It's kind of like back when Alabama and Clemson kept playing. For. I mean, I'm a Clemson fan.
Yes.
Big fan.
Right.
But, yeah, I was glad to see some new teams get into the national championship.
Mix it up a little bit.
Mix it up a little bit, especially yeah. in the NFL. But anyway,
right.
as we move on, do you prefer better the mountains or the beach?
The beach.
The beach? And you can't go in between on this. It has to be one or the other.
Okay.
Because I was have to preface this.
Got it.
Do you like summer or winter better?
Summer.
Summer, yeah.
I'm summer out. Beach. Yeah, see a theme develop here.
No, I can't give anybody options. Everybody likes spring and fall. I mean, it's kind of right. like the perfect temperature time.
Right.
So it has to be hot or cold.
Right.
And if you didn't have a career in law enforcement, what career would you have chosen?
Wow. I often wonder if I should have become a lawyer.
Yeah.
And I was very interested in the legal profession, but I think being a product of the 80s and growing up watching Emergency, Chips, and Cops, here I am. So.
Yes. Go look it up, kids. You can look it up on YouTube if you want to know what those tell. Some of the best TV shows ever. Because you ever watch Pluto TV? It's like a free streaming thing. And it's got like Rewind the 80s.
Yeah.
There's a channel.
Yeah.
And you can go back and watch all your favorite 80s television.
Ponch and John.
Yes.
Sunday nights. Come on. Best. Easy on the eyes.
I watched Rewind the 80s a bunch, and my kids were like, oh, what is that? And I mean, there's an all in the Andy Griffith channel. I've been watching that. Even though it's not 80s, but that's what I grew up watching because it was on TV.
I'm right there with you.
So, all right. Well, Amy Smith, thank you for coming in and giving us a very insightful, informative podcast. I hope that our listeners, and I'm pretty sure that they have enjoyed listening too, because I think we're going to come back by two or three more times to talk about more about what the Special Victims Unit does. And it's not the doink doink from the TV show.
No.
Yes, it probably has some similar type cases that you have to deal with.
Similar,
but like you said, your cases are a little more, lack of a better term, special.
Right.
To deal with, and it takes you a little bit longer to get them to the half hour, the end of the half hour television of getting to court and putting these people away
that sure.
prey on not only our children, but people who are
vulnerable.
Mm-hmm. Vulnerable yep. people. And
yep.
just and we're going to have a bonus podcast coming up later this week about scammers
yep.
preying on vulnerable people. And because anyway, I'm not going to give it away, but that's going to be our next podcast.
Sure.
It's a bonus podcast because the next podcast, we're not going to have them. You look at my list on the wall there.
I see it.
The Boss.
I like it.
The Boss is coming in for the next full-on next podcast. So let's hope his schedule stays in line with getting him in on the podcast next.
Sure.
All right, folks. Thanks again, Amy, for being here with us. If you're a regular listener to the podcast, please go tell people about the podcast. And share it up. Put it on your social media pages. But the best way to do that is go talk to your friends face-to-face the old-fashioned way and say, hey, you know, the York County Sheriff's Office has a podcast. You can go check it out on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, all that stuff. You can go check it out. And when you're there, listen to it. When you're done, give us a review. Say, hey, I like these podcasts. Or if you have a question, put it on the little review thing if your podcasting services allow you to do that. I know Spotify does. Do that. It helps us make the podcast better. And so do that and always keep up with what's going on at the Sheriff's Office via YorkCountySheriff.com and follow us on our social media pages. Thanks again for listening to YCSO, Behind the Badge.